You saw Mike Slive this summer declare that, you know, no more of these FCS games. Schedule actual games in the future out of conference.
Back to the phones we go. By the way, if you want to hit me up on Twitter today and you want to discuss things on Twitter, you can do just that. 865-200-5402. If you want to get in the mix and in the hunt. And where did that come from?
Well, there's a couple of conflicting things on the chat site. One of the moderators on VolQuest is suggesting that it's Von Pearson is a pretty significant deal, but then someone referenced later on that at Freak of Nature,
a poster,
said it copied a tweet. I guess
that's his tweet.
At
that is
Nature,
his tweet.
Von Pearson said he rolled his ankle, nothing serious, thanks for the support. So let's certainly hope that's the case.
Mm. Back to the phones we go. 865-200-5402.
Which player can Tennessee least afford to lose between Pearson and Wolf? Not to be completely insensitive.
How about both of them? Oh, Wolf's a big part of what they do, too, even though I know you're going to say they have a plethora of young guys at that position.
Not really. I mean, there's a reason he beat out more experienced players.
There's no question. And that's a great sign. It's kind of a troubling sign and a great sign all at once. Back to the phones we go. We are already a good hour in here. And let's see who's up next with us. But Mark, hello.
What's up, Tony?
Hey, Mark, welcome.
Tony, I don't know what people are working for.
Are you on a speakerphone or something? I'm barely able to hear you, man.
No, hold on a minute.
Okay, put me on your big element here.
I'm is that better?
Yeah, that's much better. Go ahead.
Sorry about that. My big head hit the speaker on this a new iPhone, which I can't stand. I like the old school stuff. But I don't know what people are expecting. You get what you get with this team.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the line is adequate at best, and Worley's one of the most improved players on the team, plus Josh Smith.
I would say Worley's really had a real nice start to the season. He really has.
Does it look like to you he's got bigger over the summer?
Yep.
Yes.
I mean, what can you expect with a guy that's, you know, he's limited, but he's doing what he can. That was a tremendous fake when he faked to, the running back, Hurd.
Yes.
And took it end on. That was brilliant.
It was a great play. And we've been waiting for him to keep like that all year.
He's also mastered that little Tom Brady shoulder dip in the pocket, step up and throw the ball downfield, which is going to have to do this season to buy himself time the way the pass rush is getting through.
I will be really curious, guys, to see what
how you doing, brother?
I'll be curious, Mark, to see how, when we start playing the big boys next weekend, how much time we're going to have to do some of those creative, cute things in the pocket back there, Sean. Aren't you curious to see what that's going to look like?
But I'll caution you. It's feast or famine, too. I'll remind you that Worley fumbled also.
Yeah, and he threw a bad interception, too.
Yeah, so
nobody's perfect.
But I don't know. To Mark's point, if you're expecting more out of Worley, I just don't know what you're looking for.
Yeah.
Because I think the guys, I think they're squeezing every bit of talent out of what he's got right now.
He's playing out of his mind right now.
Yeah.
Well, for people who are critical of him, I mean, what else would you like to see? Who would you like to see Bajakian play?
People want Peyton Manning.
Yeah.
Or they want Tony Robinson or T. Martin
Fantastic.
Running around.
They've
That's
got
great.
Nathan Peterman.
That's right. That's your choice.
Oh, yeah, I forgot they got Peterman, and not knocking the kid. He had a horrible outing last year, and he's one of these types that show in practice and can't do it when the lights are on, Tony.
Now, in music, he'd be the equivalent of that gunslinger guitarist who you brought to the practice session, and, man, he lit the world on fire. And then you went out on stage, and he played like me. You
like
know what
Andy
I mean?
Nelly, brother.
And they looked at him and said, when this gig is over, brah, we're going to get us a suitable replacement.
Well, you know, Mark, it comes down to this, in my opinion. We're dissecting stuff week to week in a process that's going to be year to year. I mean, you're not going to make drastic improvements over a spring or summer. This is going to come as recruiting classes come in and they mature. And unfortunately, no one wants to hear it. I don't want to hear it, but Butch is right. it's a process, and it's going to take a while.
But I will say, in fairness to his football team, eyeball test-wise, they've gotten a whole lot better in
Absolutely.
1 year.
No
a whole
question.
Lot better.
No
yeah,
question.
They're better at any point this year than they were last year.
I totally agree. Totally agree.
Guys, is it just me or my observation watching on TV? Tennessee runs the ball better when Worley's behind the center and not in the shotgun.
I would say that's a pretty good observation on your part, Mark.
I mean, it's not drastically better, but it's they're able to move the ball better. Did you all hear that tweet about Pearson saying he just rolled his ankle?
Yeah, we were just talking about it, uh-huh.
Don't worry. Wolves looks a little bit more serious than that.
Yeah, in fact, I want to bring Reed Carringer in here right now on the tail end of your call. Reed Carringer, you of RTI, RockyTopInsider.com, you are a wonderful photog. You're really blessed in that area. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I don't know, but you had a terrific shot of the play, the definitive play where Wolf got hurt. From your eyes through the lens and then from what you've been able to dissect, as I welcome you to the program, how serious do you feel like his injury could be?
No, thanks for having me, Tony. First off, yeah, it didn't look good. He got hit right on the kneecap. Looked like he took a shoulder right on the kneecap as his foot was planting, and then it hyperextended quite a bit. So, you know, it's better to go hyperextended than it to go sideways. So, I mean, if you want to be an optimist, there's that. But it didn't look great. Could still just be a sprain, hyperextension. He might just miss, you know, a few days, a few weeks, something like that. But you just hope nothing got torn in there, because it's a pretty rough hit.
Yeah, pretty rough hit. A helmet right there on your knee.
It's uncomfortable.
I would say that would hurt. And did you get a sense for Pearson's injury? Because we've had some conflicting stuff from Twitter to some reports. Do you have any idea, Reed, word you've heard, any source? Have you heard anything?
Yeah, it's funny. It looked like a high ankle type. I was right. I was a couple feet away from him when he got rolled over there. And then he didn't put any weight on it, left the field on crutches. And I heard a couple people say that it just did not look very good for him. So I guess read into that what you will. That's what I'd heard. To me, the initial reaction was it looked like a pretty bad high ankle injury. So we'll see. I think probably know something tomorrow, Monday-ish.
Let me say this, and then we'll go back to Mark and let him finish his call here on your Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. There is an interesting development here because, for what it's worth, according to Mothership Chip, he says that the tweet you guys were just referencing from Pearson has now been deleted.
It's not there anymore. That's
not
correct.
Not there. Not a good sign. Either that, or they're wanting to play games with his injury and give Oklahoma another thing to think about, and they took it down. And they want to act like he's hurt. So there's one of two ways to read that, Sean, because games do go on, don't they, Sean?
Well, you know, Bush doesn't really like to talk about injuries. And
no.
Kind of keeps that, you know, off of public consumption. So
yeah.
That wouldn't surprise me either way.
Yep. Me and Mark, finish us up here, brah.
Guys, we're right where we thought we would be. We had to get these first two games. We're two games and four wins away from a bowl, brother.
Well put, my friend. Thank you. Great talking to you. As we, as Mark exits the building, if you want to get in, 865-200-5402. As Ole Miss trails punchless, hapless Vanderbilt. They lead Vanderbilt. I'm sorry. 10-0 the score there. A minute and a half to go or so in the first quarter with the time ticking. Reed Carringer joining us, with Rocky Top Insider. And Reed, I'd like your observations, if you can. Give me a good minute or so, as all of our guests do, and then we'll get back into our phone calls.
Yeah, I thought this game went about how we expected. We talked about it after last week's game, Tony, that Arkansas State's just a better team than Utah State. I don't think Tennessee was quite as sharp as maybe people wanted to see. You know, you had an interception from Worley, had a couple fumbles that Tennessee ended up not losing. But the Vols weren't quite as sharp last week. Did run the football a little bit better. Arkansas State coming into this game, or at least last season, gave up 180 yards on the ground, 4.7 yards a carry. Not a very good run defense. And Tennessee took advantage of that at times. Still not where it wants. You want the run game to be at all, averaging 3.7 yards a carry today. But they got some more yards on the ground, had a couple longer, you know, 10-plus yards runs. So I think that's something that they can continue to build on. It's going to be a work in progress from that. I think if you want to nitpick on offense other than the run game, is Tennessee didn't hit any deep balls. You know, something that Jakian talked about this week. Worley was way overthrowing him last week. This week he had guys open again, and he underthrew them, and he let the defenders get back into play. And you can't do that either. So I think that's kind of a disappointing thing if you want to talk about the offense. And then defensively, they didn't play as disciplined. They didn't play as much well as far as from an assignment perspective. You had a couple breakdowns on defense. Justin Coleman continues to miss tackles, continues to be a liability in coverage. I think he's probably the weakest spot on that pass defense right now, and they need to find some ways to shore up that position headed into Oklahoma next week.
Reed, it's very interesting week here coming up as we'll go back to our phones. Lots to chew on from today's game. A lot of progress in a lot of areas for Tennessee, and yet a lot of places where there is room for this football team to grow and work, and they're going to have to if they're going to stay in some games here in the next several weeks. Otherwise, this could get ugly on this program. As let's go back to our phones and grab David, who's next with us. David, hello. Welcome to the Smart Way Dalton Behring Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction.
Hey, Tony. I had a couple things I wanted to touch on, but first of all, I think it's kind of irresponsible for you guys to get on here and say that Nathan Peterman is a guy that can't get it done when the lights come on, when he's only had one opportunity since he got on campus.
Who said that?
I was a caller that said that.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Second thing, on that Ethan Wolf hit, I was watching it on TV, and I'll tell you what, I kind of agreed with the broadcaster that brought up, the analyst that brought up, you know what, with them making the game where they cannot go to the head, they're going to be more lower hits to the lower body. And I hate the kid got hurt. I really do. But I think these coaches are going to have to do a better job of teaching them. And they may, the guy that was an analyst, I can't remember his name, but he was pretty good. And he made a comment, you know, that Ethan, he had enough time to see that guy coming and get low. And he yep. chose to stand straight up. And the blow was not below the knees. And I'll tell you what, I think these coaches, because of these rule changes and the way they're going after the concussion deal, they're going to have to teach these kids when they see a blow coming, they're going to have to get low. What do you guys think?
I remembered the play a little differently. I thought he was turning to his right and got hit. But, you know, it that's the way it's taught. If you're a DB coming up on a 6'5 tight end, you got to chop him down. You're not going high on him at all.
And Cam Sutton, by the way, is a master at that.
Yeah.
And let's say this. You had an observation earlier today that I think needs to be echoed and needs to be talked about that can make the game safer. I want Sean to share this.
Well, it was just throwing it around. It wouldn't have maybe helped on this one because he was hit, as Russell said, right on the kneecap. But, you know, it's everyone talks about knee braces. Obviously, they work to some extent, or you wouldn't have them on anybody. It's that people. I understand why people don't wear them. They think it slows them down and restricts their motion. But, if you know, and I'm not suggesting everyone had them, but as long as we're looking at safety, it's something you may consider. Now, before everyone goes flying off the handle, I understand why it's not practical or why people wouldn't want to. But a lot of these young kids are just getting taken out way too early in their careers.
Hey, guys, one other thing I wanted to say. What's our new kicker's name, field goal kicker?
Medley. He was referred to as Austin Medley by the ESPN guys, who also... Go ahead.
You know what, guys? I'll tell you what. I can tell a lot by looking at a kicker, the way they kick extra points, just as well as I can field goals. And I'll tell you what. I think this guy's going to be a really good kicker. I really do. You know, when you see, and Tony, I think you'll agree with me. When you look at these NFL kickers, there's so much of a difference between NFL kickers and college kickers. And the way I saw some of those extra points, and I did not get a chance to see his last field goal, so I don't know how that looked. But when you see some of these extra points that are going straight through the uprights and are getting way high up there, when you can tell that if it was a field goal, it was going to be a very long kick. I think this guy's going to be a good kicker.
I think it's an excellent observation on your part, and I think, like you, I believe he has a bright future ahead of him as well. And I thank you for the call, David. Good talking with you. Reed, any thoughts on his phone call as Reed Carringer joins us, as he is with RockyTopInsider.com?
Yeah, I'm with you on Medley. I think you've seen the inconsistency you expect from a true freshman on a giant stage for the first time. The last two games have gone about the same way for him. He missed the first one, hit the second one. I think he's got a great leg. We've seen him do really well in practice. You know, go 14-14, things like that. So I'm high on Medley. I think he's maybe an underrated signee in this class, and it should be in for a big career as long as he can keep his head straight. And I think Butch Jones, he proved it last year with Pilardi. He knows how to coach kickers, and he's not going to have any issues in that area.
Back to our phones we go, 865-200-5402. What about Sean Sinclair before we do that? What about his observation regarding knee braces and how we've got to figure out a way to make these kids safer on the field with all the weight training and all this stuff that's going on? And Butch Jones has GPS strapped to him, and everybody drinks their own protein shake now and this and that. And that's all well and good. But that little joint right there, hey, that's kind of the great equalizer in sports. It's the great equalizer in women's sports. And more, as guys are getting more jacked, it's becoming the great equalizer on the football field. What about if everybody wears a brace and we try to slow this down some?
Yeah, we've seen I've seen some of Tennessee's practices where a bunch of guys try them out, and they're kind of going there and just saying, "Hey, we'll see if I can make this work." I saw it's funny you mentioned that. I actually saw Todd Kelly Jr. in one scrimmage or one practice this fall camp took a hit so much like what Wolf took. Hyperextended his knee. Orta hit him. I mean, Orta knew it was so bad, he ran around the field kind of screaming. He thought he just tore Kelly's leg off, and it ended up just being a sprain. He missed a couple practices, didn't scrimmage one night, and then he came back with knee braces on the next few weeks. But, yeah, I don't know that that's a bad idea, Sean, is doing whatever you can to protect those players. I don't think it slows them down near as much as they think, especially once they get accustomed to it. They're kind of bulky, but we've seen players play really well and play at a high level with those knee braces on, and it's definitely worth something to consider. And, you know, if I was a high school athlete, big-time high school athlete, I think I'd have them on, that's for sure.
Well, here's the issue. If you say across the board everybody's got to wear one, now all of a sudden it's just another piece of equipment. It's relative. Now it's all relative.
Even playing field.
The dispersal of how it impacts, well, it impacts everybody. You know, it's like in baseball. Everybody's going to play with the same ball. So if it's juiced, everybody plays the same juiced ball. If it's a dead ball, everybody plays the dead ball, whatever it is. And to me, it only makes sense if we're going to take the time to try to make the game safer, let's take the time and try to make the game safer. And we've already seen early on, these knee injuries are just, they're terrible.
Well, you know, go ahead, Reed, sorry.
Oh, no, sorry. It's just something that I think if you institute a rule like that on any level, also there's going to be a lot more research money spent into those products, and all those products are going to improve a ton. So you're going to end up with better products, too, which ultimately leads to safer players.
Back to the phones we go. Sean, you were going to say something, and then I got to get my phone.
Well, you know,
I've been teasing that for a second.
The age-long argument is, they slow me down. Well, how does an ACL injury slow you down?
Amen to that.
I mean, again, he's trying his hardest, but Kurt Majette is nowhere close to the same player he was pre-ACL injury.
Amen.
He's just not.
Amen.
And besides Adrian Peterson, I can't think of a whole lot of them that are.
It's such a difficult thing to see guys go through this. Grab the Sean will help you there. Let's go back to our phones. We're digging through. We're digging out some equipment here. Do not, whatever you do, try this at home. Jamie's up next with us. Jamie, hello.
Hey, what's going on, Tony?
Hey, man. Welcome.
Tony, again, man, thanks for being there for this kind of show, man. This fan base definitely deserves this. It's unique, and again, I appreciate it, man. And I know a lot of it too.
Thank you.
Guys, I hear a lot of let's be fair to the team, and I can definitely appreciate that. You know, these guys have been through a lot. I understand that, but let's not do it at the expense of the fan base, because, you know, we've been through a little bit too here. You know, I don't think the fan base is looking for Peyton Manning or T-Rod, guys. I just think our fan base is looking for a quarterback that's not the second best one on the field when you're playing Utah State and Arkansas State. And that's not too much to ask when you're an SEC caliber program as we are. Would y'all agree?
Reed, your thoughts.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. That's the biggest question for me, I think, just moving forward with Butch Jones, this staff. Can they bring in a quarterback? Can they develop a quarterback and have played an SEC level? Because right now, you nailed it. Corley's not the best guy on the field. He's not going to be the best quarterback on the field just about no matter who they play. Freddie Knighton, a guy who's a two-star prospect coming out of high school. He's undersized. You saw that out there. He doesn't have a great arm. But you know what? He's productive. And he was
outplayed. Yeah, he outplayed him.
He did. He outplayed Worley. He was able to produce, even though I think Worley had a decent game. But he was able to produce. And if you put a guy like that on Tennessee's offense, I mean, Tennessee's offense, I'd say it would be a little bit better.
Dubsy,
y'all think that Knighton dude outplayed Worley today?
No.
Yeah.
What are y'all smoking?
Arkansas State had around him? You don't think he did?
Switch those quarterbacks, put them on the other roster, and I think Knighton has a bigger day than Worley.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you can't switch them. Worley plays for Tennessee, and Knighton plays for Arkansas State, and Worley kicked
like
his
Brad
ass.
Pitt, I wouldn't be sitting here doing a radio show. What is that?
You don't like Brad Pitt?
No, I'd say I'd be doing something.
I think you
bigger.
Look like him a little bit. I was just thinking about that.
I look like his gardener.
I don't even know if you'd qualify for his gardener.
No, I don't either. I was trying to get something reasonable.
Russ, knock it off with that nonsense, man. We do. That's what we do every day on the radio. I've done it with you before. You've never dropped you remember when we used to talk about how Bruce Pearl will beat you with his and then beat you with yours too? You don't remember doing that?
Russell, are you going to knock it off with that that nonsense?
Why is Knighton playing for Arkansas State? If he's that good, why is he playing in the Sun Belt?
Never mind, Russ. For the rest of the guys, would y'all entertain that analogy? Would y'all not think that if Knighton was on Tennessee's team and Worley was on Arkansas State, that Knighton would have the bigger day?
Well, I think Knighton's a better athlete. But there's no way Knighton makes some of those throws that Worley made today. No way in the world. If you're looking for dynamic athletic ability, Knighton's your guy, certainly. But, you know, I don't know. They're asking him to do two different things. So I still think Worley did a nice job, and I have to disagree. I don't think that Knighton outplayed him today.
Young Christian Lundy, what do you say?
I think Worley outplayed him today. Simple as that.
You think he outplayed him?
Yeah, I thought Worley played better. Like they said, Knighton's a better athlete, but I thought Worley had a better day.
Christian, do you think going ahead in the season that there'll be another opportunity where we can say we've got the best quarterback on the field?
Have you seen Vanderbilt play?
Have you seen Kentucky?
Vandy, maybe UTC. How about a Southeastern Conference game?
Have you seen Kentucky and Vanderbilt?
Well, guys, if we're having to compare ourselves to Kentucky and Vanderbilt, then we're...
Wait a second. South Carolina wasn't exactly... That guy didn't light the world on fire in week one. Alabama's quarterback situation is a mess.
Did you see
Alabama
Jacob Coker today?
That guy is terrible.
I tell you what, Coker's found himself the backup quarterback today. That guy screwed up the worst end of half. I don't know if y'all caught that.
Well, there you go. You just answered your own question.
They had a timeout, and he scrambled away the last few seconds of the game clock with a timeout in his pocket. Kiffin and Saban weren't happy about that. But, guys, I don't like getting on the team. I want Butch Jones to succeed. I just think that we want him to succeed too much that we're, you know, when Worley throws for 2.5 bills, we're saying he's balling. You know, break 300 for me one time against Utah State.
Oh, my gosh. Jamie. Wow. I mean, the hater raid. And Jamie.
He would have had 300 last week if his receivers caught a couple of those balls that hit him right in the hand.
How about today? There were some drop balls today.
I mean, and Josh Malone's got to go up and at least try for that ball. I know he had his hand pinned, but you know, you got to work for an interference call or go up and grab that one. I mean, come on!
Wow, talk about some serious hatred. Reed, what else do you guys have before we go back to the phones over at RTI in terms of slants on this game? Or give me something salient here, because, quite frankly, what's in studio with me truly hasn't produced in the last 15 minutes.
You're struggling, huh? You're calling in the bullpen.
Interesting.
You know, we got a quick hitters up with kind of four takeaways, a quick graph of how Tennessee scored the football. We're going to have a game story up shortly. I've got about 100 picks up from the game going up as soon as I get home. And you know, I think it was a – I haven't got to listen to the whole show like I did last week, Tony. But I think everybody I talked to on the field said, hey, they just didn't play as well as last week. And it seemed to be a little bit underwhelming. But Jones talked about it this week, that your team takes a big jump from week one to week two. I don't know that Tennessee took a positive step forward this week, except in perhaps the running game department. And even that one wasn't a great step forward considering the competition. So I'm sure that the coaching staff, when they go back and watch the film, they're not going to be pleased with what happened today because they didn't take the step forward that they were looking for.
Back to the busy phones we go, 865-200-5402. Eric is our next caller here today. As I remind you, this is your Smart Way Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction, the place where you, yes, you, are the star of the show. Eric, hello.
Hey, Don, how you doing?
Hey, Eric, great to hear from you.
Hey, good to finally call in. Hey, I just want to say it's going to be great to go into these games having having a post-game show that's not the second-best post-game show afterwards, right? You know, gosh, the haterade has got to – it's ridiculous. I can't believe people would think, so you actually had people calling in saying that we're holding back, that Tennessee is holding back?
Vanilla. Yeah, being vanilla on purpose. I just can't. Dude. For the life of me.
I can't either.
I say God bless those people. We are limited. They want to act like it's 1998, exactly. And we're going to go to Oklahoma and roll them. And I say to them, roll one. If you think that, roll one.
We got people thinking we're holding Dontavius Blair out, and he's going to be
yes!
a secret weapon.
Yes, Dontavius Blair is being held out right
he's
now.
He's going to do a fumble roosty like we did at Mississippi State coming up.
It's just crazy.
I think some of these people may have already rolled one, Tony. What does the sign say that they slide when they go out? It says, I will give my all for Tennessee today. That's what they do.
They gave their all today, man. I got it.
Exactly.
And I feel you. I got no problem with nobody today. Not even a coach. Look, are things perfect? Absolutely not. No. But they're moving in the right direction.
Exactly.
You can
see
it.
You know, exactly. 2 years ago, the best effort of this program against Arkansas State would have done what? A three overtime shootout, you know, like Troy, right? That's where we would have been, realistically, you know?
Last year, do we not
appreciate where we just came from? Because believe me, I was there last week and I watched it, and this team, even from last year, this is a different ball game. It really is. I think it is. Let me ask you this: what do you think Jalen Hurd could do? Y'all talked about him, compared him to Bowman Stewart. What do you think he could have done behind that offensive line of the early '90s? The same group that Stewart and Garner and Hayden were playing with.
Reed, go ahead and tackle that.
Yeah, he's a lot different back than those guys, but I think you started seeing him today, just starting to get the tough yards, get those 3 or 4 yards that Butch Jones talked about this week. I'm a lot more sold on her than I think people, maybe the fan base is after the first couple games. There's not, you brought up the offensive line that those guys had. There's no room to run. They're just not.
That's
There's
right.
not any room to run for any of those running backs right now. Even Lane's longest run of the day, it was a dive play, and he busted up the middle, and there's nothing there, and he bounced it outside. There's just that
right.
offensive line. It's going to be a work in progress all year. It's going to be a struggle. If you can't run for more than 3.7 a carry on a team that gave up 4.5 a carry last year and lost three of their top four defensive linemen, you're really going to struggle in Oklahoma, at Georgia.
That's right.
Florida comes to
That's
town.
Right. We knew this was going to be a long season coming in, so there shouldn't be any surprise. I was not surprised by anything that I saw. I was encouraged that it was not, you know, this game last year that had been taking the drama right down to the fourth quarter with this.
That's South Alabama, Sun Belt team last year, about to beat Tennessee.
Exactly,
that's exactly right.
Exactly. And these guys, they seem to have it under control. Hey, let me say one more thing. I'll get out of here. Is it too early to start trolling Florida a little bit?
No, I want Florida. No.
I do too.
I'm sick of them. I want to beat them, and we can beat them. But again, I don't want to troll or talk smack, and I don't want to build up false expectations on this staff. But I would love to beat the living hell out of them. I'm sick of looking at them. I'm tired of their fan base. Go ahead.
Yeah. How about just a victory? Think about this. Now, Florida, nobody picked them to be 4-8 last year, right? And, you know, what are they going to do this year? Probably a lot better. But with the Idaho game out of their system and off their charts, I wonder if the Tennessee game is a must win for both programs. Because if we want to get to bowl eligibility, Tennessee wants to get to bowl eligibility, they're going to have to steal one. And if Will Muschamp wants to keep his job, he better not lose to Tennessee, right? I mean, what do you think about that? Does that become a must win for both programs, or
it's a doorway game for both teams, certainly? Because if Tennessee wins that game, they're winning 7, maybe 8. And if Florida loses that game, they are going to have a wretched season. They could fall off the track like they did last year when basically Tennessee beat them up. Tennessee destroyed them last year in terms of – you never want to see kids get injured because it's terrible. But Tennessee was so physical. They were physical in the first 3 quarters of that game with them. But, hey, listen, I really appreciate your call, Eric. Thanks for the kind words, and thanks for being there, man.
Yeah, love it, bud.
Take care, brother. Good talking to you. 865-200-5402. Back to our phones we go. Herman wants to jump in here, and he wants to rebut something he heard about the quarterback hate that was emanating out of his device a few minutes ago. Herman, hello.
How's everything going?
Hey, Herman, doing great. Good to talk to you.
No, you got some idiots calling in there. They need to go and start calling down to Alabama and talking to them. Worley played the best ball game of his life today. I saw him play when he was over in South Carolina, and he is a pro quarterback. He is not a all-purpose back, and he would probably work better out of the T formation. And I did see something today that I hadn't seen Butch run last year or this year. He used an H-back about 3 or 4 times when he ran. Did you see that tight end in there in the backfield?
I did. Reed, go ahead. Respond to Herman here.
Yeah, Herman, you're right. And that's something they're going to use more this year and something they should have used more last year, in my opinion. So I think they sort of learned from that, looking at the tape, and that's something you're going to see more moving forward. You know, I guess you talked about maybe fans saying Tennessee's holding back. I don't think they're holding back. None of the players are holding back. They're not holding back personnel. But I think they are holding back scheme-wise a little bit right now. They're not trying to show too much if they don't have to. Something I think you'll see more is that H-back look in certain situations moving forward. I think you're going to see them utilize the tight end across the middle. If you think about all of Wolf's catches, they were all outside toward the sideline. I think you're going to see the tight end utilized toward the middle. You're going to see 2 running back sets at times. There's some stuff Tennessee's going to do moving forward that you haven't seen yet, and that's one of them. You'll see more of that.
No. Well, Worley this year has put on more weight. He can take a blow better. He has been hit in the pocket, still got his throw off and completed his pass. I feel like that Butch is wanting to redshirt one of these quarterbacks, and he's going to play Worley and Peterman. And I just feel that way. And I think Worley is doing extremely good compared to what some other quarterbacks are doing in the Southeastern Conference. If you just watch it, who's got the quarterback, fellas? Where's he at? At Texas A&M? Okay, I'll go along with you. Hey, Alabama's trying to find one. They're using 2.
That's exactly right, Herman. Speak the truth. What do these people want? If you're ranking Worley's play through 2 games right now, he's a top 5 quarterback in this league. Name me 5 better quarterbacks in this league right now. Go ahead. I would like somebody to name me.
I can't even name them, regardless of how they're playing.
Did they not listen to the announcers today on the TV?
Apparently he didn't.
Watch TV? They said Worley was probably as sharp as anybody in the country today. what's he hitting, 70% of his passes?
He threw a pick.
How many other quarterback it is?
He threw one pick and the ball hit the ground, and they called it an interception anyway.
Correct. And on that fumble, well, golly, fellas, I played football when I was in high school and tried to play in college. I tore a knee up, but I fumbled.
Herman, I don't want to make this about
my first wife.
Herman, I don't want to make this about callers, but do you think Jamie's ever played?
I don't think he even knows what a football is. He might have seen them back in the old days when it was called rugby, but I don't believe he knows what a football is. He may go over somewhere and play marbles with somebody and make it to a football arena.
Hey,
but he wouldn't know a quarterback from a hole in a bull's eyes.
God, beautiful. Herman, thank you. We got to the point there on Herman. Dubsy, what'd you think of my handling of that phone call?
I don't think you need to be inciting caller on caller hatred.
That's a good
point. Very unprofessional.
He brought the wood, though.
Lundy, were you satisfied or comfortable with the caller on caller hatred?
I was both satisfied and comfortable.
Okay,
that was a great call, Herman.
And as for you, Reed Carringer and the guys at RTI, how do you feel about caller on caller verbal violence?
Hey, I thought that was fun. That was fun, Tony. I thought you handled it well. And to Herman's point, look, Hartley threw two games, throwing five touchdowns, only one turnover, and over 500 yards passing. I think if you told anybody that, you tell Butch Jones that before the season, you take it in a heartbeat. You can't fault that stat line.
Backdoor phones will go.
It could be Vanderbilt, who's still waiting on their first points of the season here with about 7 minutes to go in the first half.
Do they have a first down in this game?
I don't know.
Do they have a first down today?
This
is atrocious.
They apparently think it's golf where low score wins.
Yes. You think it's time for them to bring that bowling team out and parade them around, their national champion?
The women's bowling, I think.
Women.
Offense is hard to come by in the con zone.
By the way, Mark texts me here. He's mad we didn't use our backup punt. Let's go back to our phone.
Is that a shout out to
Reed? We have some real clowns out there today. Let's get we gotta get serious here and back to our phones. Magnum's up next. Magnum, hello.
Hey, Tony.
Hey, man, welcome.
Now that it's Oklahoma week, I'm just wondering. Brocky likes to wear the jersey. Does he have one that's split down the middle?
Does Brocky have an Oklahoma-Tennessee jersey split
in the
middle?
He's a fan divided.
How does he handle this?
I guarantee Brocky's rocking a Sooner jersey out
no
of
way.
Oh, no question.
No, he'll no never question. Be in here ever. No way.
No
he'll ever
question.
Never be in here ever again. That can't be true.
Brocky's my boy.
That can't be true. TR is not going to like
Twitter?
That.
I think Brocky has that tatted on his lower back, Boomer Sooner.
I'm sure he does.
Did you
got
just,
the tramp stamp?
Did you just ask if he's Mickey Sooner on Twitter, Reed?
I did. I thought he had Sooner in his Twitter handle for a while.
Oh, no. Hey, Vandy's in a 3rd and 25 right now, by the way. We've got to stay on point here.
Hey, they've got a good baseball team.
They really do. They're going in the right direction on offense right now, too.
And their baseball team is going to average more runs a game than their football team.
Dang.
Hey, Reed, Dubsy said they're going to start playing third down for what when they have third down on offense?
That's pretty good. That's strong. Strong work.
Worley is looking better, and he does at least have some weapons to throw to. He's got some Josh Smith. Is quite improved.
There's a palpable excitement right now moving through East Tennessee when you think about all the good things that are about to happen here. You just know that it's coming.
Yeah, I mean you've got to look at it as that. Yeah, we're not ready to really move the needle too much this year, but we're getting better And we're winning. I mean, we handled those games, these last two games, where we could have struggled the last few years in a game like this. And the fans are fired up. And, I just hope people aren't too up after this next stretch here. I mean, you know, or you know, before this next stretch, you know, and then they get too down on the team.
Hey, Magnum, we've had.
We're going to see.
Well, can I lay something on you? We've had a tremendous caller roster today. We're reaching all these new people, and that's fun.
Yeah.
You have got to get your grandpa, Coldfield Herman, to call me.
I'll work on that, Tony. It's his 82nd birthday.
Wow.
And we need to get him in there.
We need to work on him.
Because he was, you know, kind of railroaded by those morning clowns.
He got railroaded off the morning show?
Yeah. They didn't have the patience for him. But they want their own agenda.
That might be the worst thing I've ever heard. Wow, I'm sorry to hear that.
Better keep callers first, Tony. You do it. Good job, dude.
Oh, man. Thank you, brother.
But, you know, we just got to see improvement week to week, and I think we will. I'm excited for the direction of the program now for the first time in a few years. So.
Thank you, my friend. Great talking to you. It's a great day to be alive and well, wasn't it? Or isn't it? Back to the phones we go. Jim is next with us. As I remind you, the Bed Store has been voted number one mattress store in East Tennessee for 2 years running. Over 700,000 votes in the Knoxville News Sentinel Readers Poll. Biggest selection of Simmons Beauty Rest, which is, by the way, what my daughter sleeps on, a Simmons Beauty Rest. They also have Serta Eye Comfort Tempur-Pedic mattresses. The biggest selection you're going to find in this area. And the Bed Store has 8 Knoxville area stores and are currently expanding in the other markets around this state. So if you're listening to us around the state and you're looking for potential franchisee opportunities, get into a growing business with the Bed Store. Be your own boss. This is the stuff dreams are made of. You can get more information at bedstore.com. Email those folks. Do business with them. And also keep them in mind if you're interested in a franchise opportunity. Bedstore.com online.
Check this score note out. Arkansas leads Nicholls State 56-0. The Hogs have run a total of 20 plays.
Wow. And Fulton is idle, I take it.
Let's go
back to the phones and grab another call. Reed Carringer is joining us, RockyTopInsider.com. Reed, before we go back and get Jim, a word about your site. Go.
Yeah, we got a ton of stuff up from the game. We're going to have even more coming in the next 30 minutes or so, including photo gallery, quick recap, game story. We'll have a report card up tomorrow. And we all watch the DVR and go back and tell you what we could really learn from the game after reviewing the tape. So we'll have that up here probably tomorrow or Monday as well.
And also your podcast, get a plug in.
I appreciate it. 9 to 11 on Monday, we'll review this game. I talk about the weekend, SEC and national action. 9 to 11, you can listen on RockyTopInsider.com or on our free Rocky Top Insider app for iPhone and Android. We're Mondays, Fridays, 9 to 11, Tony.
And Jamie, too, thank you for your plug there, and thanks for being there with us tonight. Jamie says to Herman, all your years of not holding our coaches accountable, how's that translated for us? Pretty poor results at best, Jamie says. Or maybe he's talking to me, I don't know. But let's go back to the phones, as we will also be reading some tweets. So if you want to tweet us, Lee the Barber said he's been trying to call for weeks and can't get through. Thank you, Lee, for being out there. Let's go back to the phones and grab Jim, who's next with us. Jim, hello.
Tony, how are you?
Jim, thank you for calling.
Tickled with the show, tickled with the balls.
Yeah, great.
I think Butch has, you know, it's not his first rodeo. I mean, let's face it. I think he's got a lot up his sleeve on the running game. I think he's going to do more I formations and pitch outs and sweeps because, you know, he's going to recognize his talent isn't exactly the way the plan is going right now. Do you agree?
Sean, is he going to change? Reed, will he change? Will they look at the video and go, this is not working? Reed?
No, I don't think he will. Not right now. I think they're happy with where they are. There's obviously some areas to improve, but it's clear that this team is drastically improved from last year. And I don't think there's a ton they're going to change. Like I said, they've still got some stuff they haven't shown yet from a scheme perspective on both sides of the football that I think you'll see in the coming weeks. But I think they're pretty happy with where they are right now.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're pretty happy playing a couple minor teams, but I'm not sure how happy they'll be playing, you know, Oklahoma and these other ones. I seriously think they need to mix it up a little bit on the running game, to be honest with you.
I think they will. I mean, that's an area I think they're going to try to stretch the field more, get the ball more to the middle of the football field in the passing game, something they haven't done very much. And then I think they will change it up. There's some stuff I've seen in practice. I can't go into details that we just haven't seen from Tennessee yet. So I don't know if they bust that out at Oklahoma. I don't know if they bust that out at Georgia, Florida, when it is. But you're going to see, I think, the playbook open up a little bit more. They have been pretty vanilla from a scheme perspective, by and large, the first couple weeks.
Well, vanilla is probably a simple term for their running game, but I'm just tickled to death. They're 2-0, and everything's all good right now. That's all.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Wonderful phone call. Hey, Reed, wrap me up here. Give me a final thought on the way out.
I think everybody should be happy with where Tennessee is right now, and that's not normally my message, but I think when you look at, you just demolished a Utah State team last week when you were just 4.5-point favorites to kick. You took an Arkansas State team, which has played some team stuff. They've won 28 games the last 3 years. They got 8 all-conference players, had some real weapons, and you took care of business. Wasn't as pretty as last week. I don't think anybody really thought it would be, but you took care of business. You won. You're 2-0. You're where you needed to be to go bowling right now, and you've got to keep that going. If you're the Vols, keep that streak going, and you can nitpick here and there. I know that some tough sledding is going to come at Oklahoma, at Georgia. But after that, I think they can rebound. You got Florida. You got the meat of that SEC schedule. And I think the Vols, they played it about as good as they could through two games. You can only play the opponents before you, Tony, and Tennessee is 2-0.
You got it, brother. And you know what? I am not surprised by the result, but if they were 1-1 after two, I wouldn't have been surprised by that either.
I think that's safe to say. I wouldn't have been surprised if today's game was a lot closer, because it's clear that team, as we talked about last week, Tony, is better than Utah State.
You were exactly right. When you were on
Tennessee
here 1 week ago,
it.
Yes. And thinking about Oklahoma today, let me tell you, with what I saw of them today, I really don't want to think about Oklahoma today.
I recorded their game with Tulsa, or Massacre with Tulsa, I think I should say. And we're going to watch that and do a little game preview this week on RockyTopInsider.com.
Thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, man. Reed does excellent work there. Russell, you introduced me to him. Thank you for that. And by the way, we're watching Stanford right now as there's 6.5 to go in the third quarter. Stanford leads over USC 10-7 in a game where USC has about 100 yards of total offense. About 100 yards of total offense. Wow.
Do y'all believe in the Lane Kiffin curse?
Meaning?
People are throwing it out there.
You know, everywhere he leaves a trail of mediocrity.
Yeah,
he destroyed
does.
Oakland.
Yep.
He destroyed the Raiders. He destroyed
Tennessee.
Been, he got it us.
Season since he left.
He was like the way he whirled through here and just cut everybody, thinking he knew everything.
Yep.
He was like a death penalty, wasn't he? I mean, you hate to say that, but.
Well, I hope there's something to that, because that'll mean Alabama's getting set to head down the tubes here shortly.
Oh, listen, I think Nick Saban's run in terms of his reign of terror, I think it's over. You could see it last weekend with them. I honestly believe
that. It seems like that field goal attempt that went back for Auburn was kind of like when Buster Douglas connected on
Mike Tyson. I agree with that. I agree with that. And I think that happens in sports. I think there are sea changes and things that happen, and I believe that's the case here with Alabama. I think their days of winning it all under Saban are done. We'll see. That's my belief. 865-200-5402. And I hope we have something to say about that. Boy, wouldn't that be fun. Can you imagine a celebration this year?
We're talking a hypothetical Tennessee victory over Alabama year. Is that what's happening now?
Let's go back to our phones. 865-200-5402. Because Josh Woodward, who's inside Tennessee.com, is going to be afraid that I'm drinking on the job here on your Smart Way Dalton Baring fifth quarter fan reaction. And Josh, nothing could be further from the truth. I welcome you in. How you doing, brother?
I'm good. I'm just leaving the stadium, heading west, and just got done writing some stuff, getting some video up on the site. You know, listening to you guys.
What a win, huh?
You know, it was a good win for Tennessee. It's good to, you know, come back in a short week. That's one thing that was big for Tennessee, to come out in a short week and take care of Arkansas State. And they did that, you know, to get ready for, of course, a very tough Oklahoma team.
Yeah, and I'll talk to you about your plans next week, because I think yours are going to be very interesting. People are going to want to hear what you're up to. Let's go to the phones and grab our next caller who will join us. 865-200-5402 is the number. And if you were encountering and have been encountering, as people have been telling me on Twitter, busy signals, an opportunity now for you to get in. As for the first time in about 2 hours, we have a line available for you right now, but just one, as we have some folks that want to talk. Let's get MP in here. MP, hello.
Good evening, Tony. How are you guys doing?
Hey, great to have you in, MP.
Hey, man, I'll tell you what, I thought Arkansas State was a very poorly disciplined, poorly coached football team. I mean, it, you know, every time they would get momentum, they really shot themselves in the foot.
Yeah, they had some silly personal foul penalties. They did do some things to take themselves out of some opportunities, I thought. I will agree with that.
And I was telling a couple people last week, you know, when Tennessee rolled Utah State, we're going to have a lot of people seeing orange wool and, you know, winning 9-10 games. And I said, you watch Arkansas State, will muddy it up, and it'll be a sloppy win, and the sheep will be jumping off the Gay Street Bridge. You know, I hate the term, it is what it is, but, I mean, it's just, that's just where we are. And the sad thing, I think the saddest thing about it is, really, since Casey Clawson, I mean, it's just like this program cannot get a competent quarterback, a good leader. I mean, Ainge threw for some yards and, you know, had a decent career, but I mean, it's been, you know, this is going on year 12 of bad leadership under center. And I'll give Worley credit. I actually think he did pretty well. And, you know, he's hanging in the pocket. He's going through his progressions and sticking the ball where it needs to be. And he's got some good weapons, but. You know, I just think as a whole, this program is, you know, granted, I mean, we've had four losing seasons in a row, but I think if there had been some dynamic quarterback play, maybe we don't sink quite as far as we've sank. And then it's maybe not just a, you know, an all-out rebuild. What do y'all think?
What do you think there, Josh Woodward? Talk to me.
Well, you know, if you're talking about the rebuild, you're right, Ainge and Clawson, and you've had some quarterbacks over the years. But I think, you know, you look at Justin Worley, and he's got some dynamic playmakers. When it's all said and done, if he continues on the path he's on right now, he may be somebody we're talking about 10 years from now, coming out his senior year and having one of the best senior years of a Tennessee quarterback, because he's got guys to throw to that Tennessee hasn't had in a long, long time. Could we compare him to Ainge's, what Ainge had when he was here, what Clawson had? There's some pretty good. I mean, Clawson had Whitford. Clawson had Washington, Stallworth, and Whitton.
Yep.
You know, and Ainge had Meacham, Swain, and Smith. You know, this could be comfortable. I mean, if Josh Malone takes that next step, and Marquez North is playing at a very high level, that guy's he's the best player on the field.
He's an NFL player. That's what he is. And he's challenged a lot of guys in the offseason. Marquez North is. I know this for a fact. He's told guys, look, I don't party. I don't care about it. I'm here for one reason and one reason only. And I've got a goal in sight, and I'm going to get to my goal. And I want you guys to come with me. And he's 1,000% committed to that. That guy is 1,000% all in. And you can tell by his play on the field today, Sean, that guy means business. Marquez North means absolute business when he walks out on the field.
Well, I mean, every pass he catches is a jump ball. I mean, he's got to fight for every ball thrown to him. You want to be the guy that can put it on him? He's going to be unbelievable.
Yep.
That makes Worley, and that's one of the couple of things I was impressed with him today was, you know, he didn't have enough man. He had to kind of throw it to a spot to where North could make a play a couple times, back shoulder in the end zone. You know, that was a good pass. And I think what we saw is, you know, 31-12, and just how limited we are that they can come right down the field and it's a sweat at 31-19 with 10 minutes to go.
I mean, absolutely.
We're all the envisions of South Alabama from last year. But when you look at the tight ends, I mean, is Daniel Helms not learning it? Because, I mean, if Wolf can't go, I mean, you know, Brendan Downs, I mean, bless his heart, yeah, he's probably slower than me.
You know, I'll jump in on Wolf. When I was leaving the stadium, he was out there and leaving also with his family, and he was walking around fine. Wasn't in a, you know, anything on his leg. Seemed like he was in a good mood. I didn't talk to him or anything, but a guy that, you know, took a big lick on that lower leg and bent his knee backwards looked to be in a good mood. So, yeah, I know time will tell, and Butch said he'd know more tonight, but Wolf, Danny Parker, that's, works on the site, said Wolf's the best tight end's been here since Jason Witten, and I believe he's right.
I agree with
that. He definitely needs him.
I agree. I don't think there's any question about that. He's going to walk out of here. Stays healthy, okay? Keeps his head on straight. He's going to walk out of here being one of the greats to ever play here. I believe that.
Well, a couple things I was talking about. The play calling early, it went from terrible to really good to back to head-scratching. You know, there's a couple drives that Tennessee, and obviously Tennessee's limited on the offensive line, but, you know, sometimes I'm thinking that Jenkins really, really gets it. Then other times I don't understand what he's doing. Like, you know, Devin Young had that nice run, and they went right back to the same play, and he was hitting the backfield for no gain. And we were awful on first down today. I mean, I give us a lot of credit for, you know, our second and long and even our third and middle and third and long. Now, first down, we were just atrocious today, and at least in the first half. But I mean, it's one of those things where you get the win, and I just hope we don't get boat raced like it worked last year. Hopefully this team's got enough speed, you know, and enough heart to go out and make it interesting for a half and kind of hang in the game and make some plays. I think we can gain some confidence doing that. It's obviously one of those things where you can go out there and sort of let it all hang out, because no one on earth expects you to win.
That is so well put. Tennessee, we hear the term in gambling parlance, house money. Tennessee walks off the field right now and onto that practice field tomorrow, and they're on house money all week.
Well, that's a good point. And I tell you, a guy that's on house money for life is Peter Poker, because he's the best expert in Knoxville.
Thank you, my friend. Josh, do you have a thought on how laid back and loose Tennessee will be this week?
You know, they should be. They should be very loose. Like you said, they got nothing to lose. You go to Norman, Oklahoma, play one of the best teams in the country. And, you know, you got so many young players. Just, they have nothing to lose, and these guys fear nothing. They're 2-0 in college. A lot of them played on state championship games in high school, didn't lose too many games. The mentality of this football team has changed in a matter of basically one recruiting class. And they'll go out there and give it all, and I guess why you play the game. They got a shot.
As we visit today with Josh Woodward, he's InsideTennessee.com. You check him out. As I remind you, you are, ladies and gentlemen, enjoying the Smartway Dalton Behring fifth quarter fan reaction. This is your commercial break free home for immediate reaction. As soon as the game ends, we are live and have been live since the game went final around 3:30 Eastern time today, which by my count puts us on a two and a half hour window that we've been rolling here with you. And in studio, moving from left to right on your radio dial, I've got Russell Smith from 94.3 FM here in town, The Drive. You can hear him from 3 to 6 in the afternoon. I've got Josh Woodward, who's InsideTennessee.com. You can check him out. And they do a terrific job covering the Vols. I appreciate the contributions during the week that we have on my show from 11 to 1 Eastern time of Randy Moore and of also the aforementioned Danny Parker, who I'll be doing a recruiting podcast with in the near future. I also have Dr. Sean Sinclair with me, and he truly is a doctor. He's a practicing dentist over in Maryville, who has also been a college football insider for going on 25 to 30 years now, as he arrived as a young boy wet behind the ears at the University of Tennessee back in the mid-'80s, and has been involved in the program and been a big fan, supporter, and lover of the program for many, many years, through the years. And let's go back to our busy phones without further ado and keep the conversation going, as all lines are currently jammed. T. Carp, hello and welcome.
Guys, how y'all doing this evening?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm blessed. I was part of the DirecTV debacle, finally got to see a little bit of it, hear a little bit of it. Guys, with our offensive line, I don't think that that we're going to, you know, just push anybody around. I think the coaches have been a little vanilla. I think to get our running game going, we've got to do a lot more screens, a lot more dynamic type of screens, a lot more draws. I think you've just seen kind of the hitch and go and just that kind of the quick hitters.